set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Welcome to Refuge Huntington Beach's Men's Breakfast. Today's guest is Pastor Pancho Juarez. He will be taking you on a journey titled Avoid Grappling the Word, taken from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 19. So sit down, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you listen to Pancho's heart-stirring and thought-provoking message. Now here's Pastor Pancho. This is the day that
life begins. All right, well, thanks, Bobby. So, guys, our guest speaker today doesn't need any introduction, but I do want to say that over the past month, I've had some correspondence with him, and it was an honor, but also a little bit of a shock to me just how humble this guy is. And we listen to him on the radio. We know he's a great man of God, and I guess that's one of the truest signs of a great man of God. It's just the humility. So please welcome Pastor Pancho Juarez.
I just want to see everybody, man. You know, that's the way, you know, if I can't see everybody, I'm freaked out. You know what I mean? I have to check everything out. Well, thank God for Homeland Security. They gave me permission to come to the OC. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for the worship, Bobby. Thank you so much. But stay away from coffee, please. Don't give that guy coffee anymore. Thank you so much. You know, there's some songs that I don't know, some of them, but there's a song that I know. That's the song that says, take my heart and form it. And then it says, take my mind and transform it. And then take my will and conform it to your will. But before I pray, I want you to understand, those that are here today, those of you that are singing, you know, all the songs, and you know, you rock out, you lift up your hands, it's cool because we know the Lord, right on? But I believe that there are some men here who are tripping out on our behavior. There are some men here who are saying, what the heck am I doing here? I could have been sleeping in bed, and I'm here with a bunch of men. Before I came to Jesus Christ, the last thing I wanted to do was hang around men, because I'd been into two institutions where nothing but men were there. That was prison and the Marine Corps. And the last thing I wanted to do was hang around with men. When I went to a Christian church for the first time, thank God nobody, if you're not a believer here, you have never received Jesus Christ, thank God no man went and reached your hand. Because that's what happened to me when I went to church. I'm a heathen. I'm blowing some weed. I'm going to a church. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to blow their mind. I had hair. It was all like Jimi Hendrix. And I had a Fu Manchu. And I said, I'm going to scare the hell out of these Christians. Lo and behold, they scare me. Because they were worse than I was. And they looked loaded more than I was. But they were not loaded in the sense that they were consumed by what I was loaded by. They were high on something else. There was a glow about them. There was a joy about them. And they sang with gusto. And me, I was very suspicious. And I'm thinking, oh, man, they hit something here, man. They've been hitting something here because everybody looks happy. I mean, you know, when everybody gets happy, we're doing weed. And then we eat. And we're doing everything in reverse here. We eat first, and then we get happy. And so when I went to that church, I was tripping out. And that song always reminds me, because the will, the mind, and the heart are non-corporeal entities. When we say the heart, we do not mean the pumping organ that is the vital, but is the seat of our emotions. The heart is a seat of your will. It's not literally this. In the ancient world, they used to say, men, if you want to express real love, you know, we say today, I love you with all my heart. Back in the old days, they would say, I love you with all my intestines. Because the intestines were vital, you know that. Or they would say, I love you with all my liver. Because that's another organ that is needed to live. And so back in the day, I love you with my heart. It was a way of saying, I love you with everything that I possess that is value for me to live. But they're not entity. And also the mind. Some people say that the mind is in the brain. Is it really? They have never, scientifically, no one has ever said that the mind is in the brain. It could be your whole psyche, as we get the word psychology from. As Jesus says, come unto me, all of you that are heavy laden. The word laden means you're carrying a big burden, but you can't see it. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden, he says, and put my yoke around you. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you should receive rest for your soul. Okay? Soul, heart, will, mind, conscience. There's something that we cannot understand. Where is that? Your will. Everyone has a will, but where is your will? Show me where your will is at. But you have it. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. And then we have five senses to authenticate and to verify truth, right? We have five senses. When people tell you, oh, man. Man, I just ate this burger, man. It's good. It's called In-N-Out. Now, you guys won't, you don't get weird about that. But when I go to Boston, I go to the East Coast, they don't have In-N-Out. And some of those suckers, when they come over here, as soon as they get out of LAX, they go on Century Boulevard to hit the first In-N-Out. So when I go back east, I always tease them. I go, do you guys have an In-N-Out? I'm knowing that they don't have one. You guys have In-N-Out? No, we don't have In-N-Out. Ah, dude. And says, have you ever had an In-N-Out? No. I said, oh, listen, first of all, you gotta see it. Boom. Right? And then you gotta smell it, right? And then you get it and you gotta touch it. Right? And then you taste it. And then you hear the crunching of the wonderful tomato lettuce. And hopefully they have those yellow vitamins, peppers. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. You guys already ate. What I'm trying to say to you is that to authenticate what you think is real, you have to see it, you have to hear it, you have to feel it, you have to taste it. You see, one apostle did not see Jesus Christ's resurrection. We call him Doubting Thomas, but I don't call him that anymore. I love Thomas. Because you see, when Thomas came in, all the disciples, though they were fearful one moment, in the moment Jesus appears to them in the day of the resurrection, and they were tripping out. The Bible doesn't say tripping out. That's the East LA version. But they saw him. 10 apostles saw him, minus Thomas and Judas, who were just hanging around. So when Thomas came in, the Lord Jesus, the risen Jesus, had left already. And when Thomas came into the room, a room of gloom and doom, all of a sudden was a room of joy and gladness because of the resurrection of Jesus. And Thomas, he was told, Thomas, he's alive. And the first thing he says, I would not believe until what? Until I see him, and also until I what? Touch him. You see, he was relying on his five senses. The next week, Sunday, Jesus appears. This time, Tommy was there. And Jesus appears. And the Bible says that Jesus appeared, and you can infer from reading in the context of the Bible, that Jesus went straight to Thomas, not to anybody else, went straight to Thomas. And basically, Jesus went up to Thomas. And I can see Jesus. Go for it. Again, that's not in the Bible. I'm paraphrasing. That's how I read my Bible. I'm not English. The Bible was written in the English content, from the English, from the British. So if you have a King James Version, you know, it tells you in English. I'm not English. I'm an American that speaks English. And my English is not that great. So I have to read. I started reading Precious Moments when I first became a Christian. If you don't know what that is, God bless you. Don't worry about it. And so I begin to read. And I read the account where Jesus says, Tom, go for it, Holmes. Here. Again, that's not in the Bible. I'm just being real. He goes, come. You want to see me? You saw me. Now you what? You want to touch me? Go for it. And the Bible says that Thomas fell on his knees and he says, my Lord and my God. Now, what Jesus says back to him is so powerful. See, I just got back from the Holy Land last week. The Holy Garden is a place that is so sanctum for me, so precious for me. Been there 18 times, and every time it's always different, different emotion. But in the upper room, Thomas, when he saw him, and Jesus responded by saying to Thomas, Thomas, you believe in my resurrection? You believe in me because you saw me? He said, blessed are those. That's you and me. Blessed are those who believe in me and yet have never seen him. I've never seen him, man. I never seen Jesus. So how can I authenticate my life? That I touched him? No. That I smell him? No. That you see him? No. That you hear him? No. That you smell him? No. And then how can you authenticate the truth? Here comes another word. Faith. Where's faith? Faith is not part of your body. It's part of your spirit that's inside of you. And when you exercise that faith that you believe, the Bible says simply, without rituals and ceremonies. You see, I come from an institutional church, a historical church. It's a biological church. It's a church of history. It's a church of do's and don'ts. It's a church of rites and ceremony. And I did all that. I'd never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was told that if you receive the Lord, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, you shall, say it loud, you shall be saved. What do you mean? That's so stupid. You mean I don't have to wear wingtips, light a candle, walk on my knees, cut my hair? What do you mean? Just that? I got to feel it. See, I've done some terrible things in my life, starting at 11 years of age. There were things done to me by a woman. It was the rape of my innocence at 11 years old. You may say, wow, you're fortunate at 11 years old by a woman. Yes, I was very fortunate. But it started a down spiral of moral collapse. My mind, my conscience was defiled at the age of 11 years old. And I found the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 24. Still a young man, but twisted, drunk, transporting drugs, selling drugs, supplying drugs. That was my world. So when I went to church, I was just desperate, a life that was empty. I couldn't see nothing, but I heard music. I saw people. I smelled the joy of people. And then when the pastor came out, that dude had a beard. He is stone hippie to the bone. Now I know who he is. I met him. It's weird. I met him. We spoke in the same platform. He says, you don't know me, but it doesn't matter. But I said, you have like 3,000 people in East L.A. When you get to heaven, God's going to just bless you for the people in East L.A. He goes, I've never been to East L.A. I know you haven't. But because of you and your preaching, I came to the Lord, and the Lord allowed me the privilege to become a pastor in East Los Angeles. And he just looked, really? Really? Because out of the 2,000 people that were at the church, there were only two girls and myself that received the Lord. That must be a bummer. You have 2,000 people, and here he speaks, man, everything, and only three people come to the Lord. Little did he know that dude that came here illegally to Orange County back then. Nah, I'm just kidding. Because it was Costa Mesa Calvary Chapel that I came to the Lord. But I was not from Orange County. I'm from the hood. I'm from East Los Angeles. So I would come here from East Los Angeles, first pick up my girlfriend, El Sereno. That's East LA too. But she's not from El Sereno. She was born in New York. And so we would come to Costa Mesa, but it was too far. And we ended up going to a church that we didn't really know the difference, and there was a big difference. And we stood that horrible torture at the Church of First Refrigeration because the gospel was not being taught. All this to say to you that I was not born a Christian. All this to let you know that Christ came into my life, and I want to direct this precious moments right now to those of you who are here who have never received the Lord. I don't care what you have done. The Bible says that all matter of sin will be forgiven. Think of the worst thing you have ever done, you who have never accepted Jesus Christ. Think of the worst thing you have done to yourself, to humanity, something that you have done immoral, something that has psyched you out, something you carry in your heart for years. When you say laden, something that you've been carrying in your bosom, something that you've done. And you carry it with you, and there's no way to exhaust it. There's no way to take it out. Nothing can take it out. And it's painful memory. But if you are here today and you've never received the Lord, listen, all manner of sin will not only be forgiven, but God says it will be forgotten. What does that mean? Well, if you have a rap sheet, assuming you don't, but if you have a rap sheet, consider it absolved. Consider it exonerated. Consider it expunged from your record. You have no record whatsoever. What? I know what I've done. Nope. According to the record, you have a clean record. That can be. It is. But that's what Christ does with our sins. He takes all our sins, all our shame. He takes away all the madness, all the craziness, all the memories, everything that's been haunting you, your conscience oozing guilt every time, feeling discomfort because there, you know inside of you there's God, but you have no peace. You don't have the peace of God because you have to make peace with God. So before I start, because you see, the Bible says that those who don't know Jesus Christ, those who don't have the knowledge of Christ, those who don't have the consciousness of God in their heart, it says that this Bible doesn't make sense. It's foolishness to them. But the natural man, what is a natural man? The natural man is someone who can't understand the word. But the spiritual man is someone who is able to understand the word of God, hear the word of God, and the word of God makes sense. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So listen, let me be real. You're not a believer. I'll be ashamed for around 20 more minutes, 25 more minutes. And for the next 25, 4 minutes, you're going to be, huh? What did he say? What are you talking about? You see, you're not connecting because, as Paul says, the mind is against the things of God. The heart of man is against the things of righteousness. The enemy, thus in the one who lets you know, the liberator. He wants to keep you blind. He wants to keep you stupefied. He doesn't want to let you set you free. But Jesus Christ does. And so an invitation is going to go forth. And the only thing that will prohibit you from not coming to Jesus is not ignorance. Oh, I don't know. I just told you. Now you know. All manner of sin will be forgiven except one sin cannot be forgiven. One sin cannot be forgiven. Think of it. I got a letter from a son of Sam. The dude, Kimowitz, what's his name? Berkowitz. I got a letter from him because he hears me on the radio in New York prison. He doesn't even want to go to parole because he says they won't let me out. He says, I don't want to get out. I'm a Christian and I'm doing my ministry inside. This is where God put me here. I got to save us a prisoner. I'm going to be a prisoner and I'm going to stay here in prison all my life. I committed a crime. I'm paying my time. But one of these days, he says, I'm already free inside. But one of these days, I'm going to be set free. When? The day when I close my eyes and I depart from this body, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He doesn't want to get out of prison. He doesn't want to make ridicule of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All manner of sin will be forgiven, even murder. But one sin cannot be forgiven. And what is that? The rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, my friends, I plead, I beg. I use an old English word. I beseech you. Oh, I supplicate you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, that if you hear today and you're not a Christian and you're sitting there, oh, man, what's happening here? You see, it's a supernatural phenomenon. Jesus even said to the crowd, he says, I can't bring you to me. I can't make you come to me. He says, my Father in heaven will draw you to me. Even Jesus said that. As powerful as he was, as famous as he was, as powerful in the miracles and wonders that he did, he says, I don't have the power to change your will. All he says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you open your heart, Jesus said, I will come in into your heart. Very simple. You don't have to. You choose to live the life. You like the life that you're living now. You're content. Fine. Then continue. But one day, life is going to slap you upside your head. If you're here today and you would like to receive the Lord, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That takes faith. But I don't see him. I don't hear him. I don't taste him. I don't touch him. No. Faith is something that God gives to us. So by faith, if you are here, if you have never received the Lord, I'm not going to ask you to walk forward like I went forward. All I'm going to ask you to humble yourselves, because that's the only thing that will keep you from not receiving the Lord. And that is, I don't want to get up. I'm embarrassed. Embarrassed of who? Us? We're worse than you, probably. We has been transformed. We has been conformed. We have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only difference. Now we have a different worldview. We have a different lifestyle based on impulse by the Holy Spirit. So if you're here today and you never received the Lord, and you would like to receive him, would you stand to your feet right now, whoever you are? If you have never received the Lord, today is that day. Would you just stand to your feet, whoever you are? You know who you is. God has spoken to you. Just stand. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Do you want Jesus or not? Here it is. Anybody. Just stand. Now, if you're not a believer, you're not standing, ask yourself this question, why do not I want to stand? I don't know. It could be that you're just very proudful, or you don't want to admit that you need Jesus. I don't know what the reason. Or maybe Satan has fooled you, saying to you, don't listen to that idiot. Don't listen to him. And you know what? I agree. Don't listen to me, but listen to the words of Jesus. I come to give you life, life abundantly. I did not come to this world to condemn the world, that the world may be saved through me. I give my life for you. That's his words. So I'll ask one more time. Anybody would like to receive the Lord? Just stand. Last time, just stand. Anybody. We're all believers here? Okay. And then the word of God will make sense. Okay? Turn with me real quick, like, to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Has anybody ever heard of this ship called the Costa Concordia? It's a ship that was shipwrecked, got too close to the rocks of an island west of Italy. 32 people died, including two Americans. According to nautical laws, who lives last of the ship? You know who left first? Captain. He took off, he was drinking tea, and he was drinking wine, and he had a girl next to him. He was making a phone call, and while all havoc was happening of his ship was turned over. Still there, they can't get it out yet. That's called shipwreck. That's negligence. Timothy was a protege of Paul the Apostle. And he was put in a church, in charge of a church called Ephesus, an established church. So he writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy being basically the last letter that Paul wrote. But he writes to Timothy to encourage a young man who is terrified and he is pressured by old-timers. He's a young man. He gets pressure because, you see, there are those in the church that somewhere along the line, they deviated. He tells in 1 Timothy of two men. He says, Hymenaeus and Alexander. He says, they got weird. They're teaching the wrong doctrine. But in 2 Timothy, it got even worse. There were false teachers that were saying that the resurrection had already happened. You see, friends, if I were to tell you that the resurrection already came and passed, we will be some sore suckers right now. What do we got to look forward to? If there is no resurrection, you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15? If there is no resurrection, he says, if there is no resurrection, I go and party like no, there's no tomorrow because we only have one life to. See, that's the philosophy of the world. I'm getting older. That's where midlife crisis comes in. I'm getting older, man. You get 40, 45, and then you start asking questions. What the heck? Where am I going, man? Then you look at the mirror, and you're losing your hair, and you got white hair. You know, you exercise, but nothing happens. You look like the Michelin man, and you realize that you're slowing down, and you're not as attractive as you once were. So you buy a nice car thinking that's the hookup, and it is a hookup. And then you realize they don't love you for who you are. And then you're getting older, and people go through midlife crisis. They don't put plugs, rugs, or drugs, and spray, whatever. They put plastic inserts so they can look like they have muscles. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's all surgical, man. They implant it to look like you got a six-pack. Not a six-pack, it's plastic. It's all plastic inside. And we're getting older. And so when people think they only have one life to live, they live recklessly because they only have one life to live. There's nothing to hope for. So Paul the Apostle tells in 2 Timothy, forgive me, he tells him 2 Timothy, he says, remind them of these things. What things? Well, that Jesus rose from the dead. He tells that in chapter 2 and verse 1, chapter 1 of Timothy. He says, listen, I want to remind you, God gave you a gift, Timothy. Your mother and your grandma, they prayed for you. God has given you a gift, just like he has given me a gift, to proclaim and explain the gospel. Do not be intimidated. Remember what you saw in me, the persecution, the accusation. He says, now because I preach the gospel, I'm in prison and I suffer because of that calling. He says, but that's okay. He says, they can put chains on me, but they cannot put chains on the gospel. So he begins to remind them. He says, you saw how I suffer. You saw my persecutions, and you witnessed how God delivered me out of all of them. So Timothy stirred off that gift that is in you. Why? Because Timothy was being intimidated, and he was forgetting who he was as a believer. He was forgetting his salvation, his forgiveness. And now he's encountering people who are saying the resurrection has already passed. He's frustrated. He writes to Paul. He goes, man, I got a church full of guys and two guys. They're telling everyone that the resurrection has passed. And the consequence of that is that they're throwing out the faith of young believers. So Paul the Apostle says, remind them of these things. Verse 14, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. You know, there are people that have conversations and you don't even understand what they're saying. There are people who have never read the Bible. And when I speak to people like that, normal people, I don't dress like, I don't know if I look like a pastor or not. I don't look like a pastor. So when I'm in public, people are talking and I hear them talking. And they say things like, well, you know, God helps those that help themselves. And I tell them, that's a lie.
What do you mean it's a lie?
The Bible doesn't say that. Well, you act like you read the Bible, all of the Bible. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I have, 5 times. The whole Bible? Yes, the whole Bible. And it's not there. You know what's not there either? Purgatory.
What?
You know what's not there either? Infant baptism.
What?
And by that time, man, they're ready. What? And that's what happens in my community. Ignorance is a very powerful tool to keep people in subjugation. That's why Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. And so these people were not practicing the truth anymore. So he tells Timothy, I want you to be diligent. That's the opposite of being lazy. Be diligent to present yourself. Two, secondly, approve to God. Third, and then fourth, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, okay, this is it, man. I mean, this is it. This is it. I got 2 minutes. He says, but you be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in verse 14, we have people who are having a grappling of words. And that's what I entitled this message, Avoid Grappling the Word. The word grappling, a lot of people don't understand the word grappling. But there is wrestling. But we see today in typical Olympics wrestling, we see Greco-Roman wrestling. But there's another kind of wrestling called grappling. How many know what I'm talking about? Grappling, okay? And what is the object of grappling? You know, it's not like typical wrestling. Grappling is basically your opponent, and you come face to face, and you hold each other, boom, and it starts just like that. And from there on, you basically have to submit your opponent in a position where they cannot move anymore. That's what grappling is all about. And so these people are using words to basically grapple people in their conversation to prove a point. And Paul says, These words have no fruit. These words, this conversation is not fruitful. This conversation that you're talking about is nothing but babbling. Stay away from it, Timothy. What you ought to do, you ought to be a diligent worker of what? Of the Word of God. Because the Word of God never changes. And as he says in verse 16, but, the negative, but shun or ignore or get away from or flee from profane, idle babblings. For they, the babblings and the profane idleness of speaking stupidities, they will increase to more, what? Ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he names one guy here, another guy, Alexander. He says, they committed shipwrecked. That's a nautical term, like they're jacked up. Basically, shipwrecked is when the rudder is out and the mast is gone and you're at sea, forget about it. If you can't control the ship, you're at the mercy of the waves, you're at the mercy of whatever currents are taking you, and you have no control of it, and basically it will be imminent death because the ship will now have no control whatsoever. And that's how Paul labels people who stay or stray away from the truth of the gospel. And when they do that, they said they become shipwrecked. So he already mentioned this one of these guys in 1 Timothy. So he says to them, he says, their message will spread like cancer, like Hymenaeus, which means the god of marriage, and Philetus, which means beloved. Oh, this is these kind of men, verse 18, they have strayed concerning the what? The truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. And what is that foundation? The foundation is the church. And who is the foundation of the church? Christ. The Bible says that when you and I, since I presume safely that all of you are believers, because none of you wanted to become a Christian, so I assume safely that all of you are believers. At one point, you said, I don't know where you were at. Like me, I was at a church. And the day that I said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of the living God. Though I do not see you, I cannot feel you, I cannot smell you, I cannot taste you, I believe in you by faith that you are the Son of God, and I invite you to come into my heart, and I ask you to give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. At that moment, me not knowing what was going on, it was afterwards when I learned that the Bible says that your name is written in the book of life. But my name is Henry, but they call me Hank. He got Hank in there. My name is William, but they call me Billy. He has it there. See, all the knuckleheads have nicknames in my community. Some guys say, hey, they call me Chato. But my real name, you know, my real name is Bobby, but they call me Chato. I said, you know what? God has Chato in there. In Revelation chapter 20, before you go to the tribunal of God, the Bible says that two books are open. One is all the deeds that you have done, and the other one is the book of life. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your name is written in the book of life. See, that's the joy that we have. The foundation of the Lord is that Christ is the foundation. And here, Timothy, Paul closes by saying this in verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. What do you mean, this seal? It's a seal of ownership. See, every squad car here in Huntington Beach, they have a seal, don't they? The seal of what city? Huntington Beach. But in the ancient days, a seal was a seal of ownership. That was it. So the foundation, there's a seal in it. And it says, and this is what the foundation reads. It reads this. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, that's another English word, iniquity. Before I became a Christian, I didn't even know what iniquity was. When Paul says, I was an insolent man, I thought, man, homeboy's diabetic. You laugh but I was ignorant. So there were many words in the English language that the only way I can read the Bible was to go to the book of Daniel. Daniel Webster's, that is. And so I learned to read the Bible. But there's iniquity, there's transgression, there's sin. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is different. Let me show you real quick, like in a close. You know when it says, there's a sign at the door. Do not touch wet paint. Right? And guess what you do? You touch it. That's a violation against your conscience, against humanity, against what you know to be right. And that is called here, basically, a iniquity. So Paul is telling Timothy, stop talking to these guys. They're talking trash. You stick to the truth. You stick to the scriptures. Study yourself to be a workman, never to be ashamed, dividing the word of God truthfully. So basically, we all as believers are to delve into this Bible. Delve into it. Delve into it. Jump on it. Just jump on it. Because if not, CNN will change your mind. CNBS, CNBC will change your mind. People are influencing you. I'd rather be influenced by God. Because God is 100% correct. I've been saved for 37 years. Everything that Pastor Chuck said, it was going to happen. I'm seeing it now. He no longer have to trip out. You know, says, there's going to be this, and then the Russians are going to be here, and this and that. That was 30 years ago. Like, dude. But now, we see it happening. Israel just went there yesterday, went through Lebanon air and fired from Lebanon, not violating Syrian airspace. They went on Lebanon. That's it. That's it. It's over. But they went through Lebanon, and they're so proficient in their ordnance that they fire from Lebanon, not violating Syrian space. And they fired. And they destroyed something that is secret. But we all know what it is. You see, the NBC ordinance that Syria has was NBC. Nuclear, biological, and chemical. They don't have nuclear, but they don't trust them. The rebels and the Hezbollah has been trying to get these chemicals to use them and put them in small bombs to shoot them towards Israel. And Israel says, absolutely not. And we're seeing now what is taking place. Soon, China will get in, Russia will get in, and we'll see Ezekiel 38 happening before our eyes. I thought I would never see that, but I'm watching it now. Jesus is coming soon. Sooner than you think. And so may you have a wonderful breakfast, or you already had it. May you now not have any indigestion. And I hope and I pray and I ask that you be filled to go back home and enjoy your day. Don't worry about, you know, Obama or your mama. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't worry about what is taking the place. You keep your eyes like a reptile. You seen the reptile's eyes? Right? You see the reptile? One eye goes up here, and another eye goes like here. And that's the way you gotta live, man. Look up. He's coming soon. But in the meantime, I gotta go to work. I gotta handle all this. So go to work. Enjoy your day. Look up. Christ is coming soon. Let's all stand. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning. Though none go with me, though none go with me, still I shall follow. Though none go with me, still I shall follow. Though none go with me, I still shall follow. No turning back, no turning back. One last time. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Father, may that be so in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Lord, as Poncho found out, apparently every one of us in this room is a believer, but God, that daily we would follow, we would follow. Amen, amen.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
You have just heard a recording from the Refuge Men's Breakfast. For more information about the men's ministry, please contact us at 714-891-9495 or log on to refugefamily.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you walk with and serve Him today.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more,
no more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.